I love it so much. It's so good.
It's a really good score too, you know.
Killed it. Hey y'all, welcome back to Some Like It Scary, a podcast where two best friends share their respective love for horror and rom-coms. I'm Kelly.
I'm Olivia.
And this week, we're back on the road, successfully avoiding log trucks, but not deer and other hijinks. This week, we're covering Tommy Boy, one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, Kelly's going to take the reins on this one because... they need to. Like, I don't know how we would do this episode with me trying to do the setup of everything when you have watched this, I would bet, roughly 5,000 times.
Probably.
You know, you made a comment when we were watching it last night that when we were fast-forwarding through a part, you said on the DVD version, you would just skip to the next scene so you knew the next scene started, like, right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you've watched this probably about 5,000 times.
Yeah, like, I remember where multiple, like, scenes on the DVD start where if I, like, click forward, like, oh, this many times, yeah. Now I'm at this part on the road. Yeah, it was one of my big falling asleep to movies. And it was also, it honestly is probably one of the movies I've seen more than any other movie. Just quantity. Like, yeah. I watched it so much as a kid, and I've just never stopped watching it a lot. Yeah. Like, there's never been a non-Tommy Boy period in my life. Yeah.
He's always been there.
He's always been there, and he always will be. R.I.P. So, this is going along with our last episode on Final Destination 2. So, you know.
It makes sense. It makes a lot more sense than if we would have done Drive Me Crazy. Only because the only thing we had with Drive Me Crazy was that Alec Larder was in it.
And it had the word drive in the title. And I was like, interesting.
Yeah, but this one I think has so many similarities between them that it's perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, yeah. People who are clumsy to the point of, like, how have you survived this long, you know?
Yeah.
And then just, like, wild things happening that you wouldn't expect. So both of them are kind of over the top with parts of their, like, humor, but in, like, a fun way. Yeah, but before we get into it, what have you been watching lately or reading?
Oh, man. Oh, man. I watched Anaconda the other night. And it...
Was that the first time you had seen it?
Yeah.
Or a rewatch?
Okay. I'd never seen it before. And, man, I don't know what it looked like when it came out on televisions in terms of the quality. And I know that it was from the 90s. It's fine. But, man, it was really silly. Like, all the scenes with the snakes were really silly. And I don't know what they told John Voight to do for, like, his character, but he just had this sourpuss scowl on his face the entire time. Also, his character reminded me of that guy. I think it's called The Room. He's got the long, dark hair. They did a parody movie of it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know, Tom was like, Michael. I can't think of what the movie's called.
Where he's
called.
Just like, hey, Mark.
Yeah, Mark. Oh, my God, yes. That's
it is called The Room. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. John Voight's character reminded me of that guy, so the entire time I'm watching it, I'm just like, okay.
I have only seen that movie one time. It was, like, at least a few years ago.
Yeah.
It's been within the last 10 years, but I don't know how long it's been. And I also remember it being really silly, and it makes me think of that reel I saw of Owen Wilson the other day. It's, like, a clip from his Hot Ones episode, which I haven't seen, but I saw, like, a clip of it. And they were... Sean was trying to get him to guess, like, the, like, taglines from posters matching him to movies he had been in. And they said the one for Anaconda. And, like, whenever they said it was, like, you can't scream if you can't breathe. Or if you can't breathe, no one can hear your screams. Or some weird tagline like that. And he's like, it sounds like Aliens, but I'm not in that. What is this movie? Are you sure it's a movie I was in?
Yeah.
And Sean's like, were you in Anaconda? And Owen goes, yes, got it. Like, it's like, right.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I feel like some of the people in Anaconda might have also forgotten that they were in Anaconda.
I was not expecting most of the cast to be in that movie.
Because J-Lo's in it. Ice Cube's in it, right?
Yeah. Owen Wilson's in it. I cannot think of this man's name. But he played one of the guys who got eaten in The Mummy. He's in it. He's the British one. But he's, like, fancy British.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about. Is it the one that's, like, the hot woman's brother? Or
No, one of those four guys that like they pull the jars out.
oh,
He's one
right.
of those guys. So
Okay, I
he's in
see.
it. And then, okay, this is gonna be so specific, and this is the only thing I can think of this guy from. He was in early episodes of Will and Grace. He has red hair and he was dating Grace for a couple episodes.
I
Only thing
can't
I've seen this
recall.
man in. But he gets fucking, they never explain this in the movie. Sorry, spoiler alert for an almost 30-year-old,
Probably.
25-year-old
I
movie,
don't know.
whatever.
Something.
So the redheaded guy in the beginning of the movie goes underwater and somehow gets a wasp stuck in his throat. And he ends up, like, I guess, passing out or something
Well,
happens
apparently
under the
I blacked
water.
that out because I don't remember that
Well,
at
he's
all.
fucking unconscious in the bottom of the boat for the whole rest of the movie. That happens like 10 minutes in. It was very strange. I'm like, so this guy's just, it was like Drew Barrymore in Scream, but bad. Like,
Right,
it
and you're
made,
like, oh, I didn't realize you
what
were
am I
gonna be like
supposed
an
to
opening
do?
kill,
Yeah.
like early on, duh.
Yeah. So it was fun. It was a fun watch. It's not something that I think I'm gonna gravitate to watch again, but
It was an experience.
I would watch it for the podcast as like a random bonus episode, but it was fine. Anyway, I watched that recently, and then reading wise, well, I just talked to you about it this morning, the book about it's a monster romance of a woman who summons a demon to help her kill her rapist, and then they fall in love. Oh, I don't know if they fall in love. I haven't gotten that far yet. I'm gonna assume that they do, but yeah, it's fun. I like it.
I
She's
definitely want
already
to pick that one up. What did you say it was called?
Sweet Vengeance.
There we go.
Yeah, and I think it said there's two books. I don't know. It's on Kindle Unlimited, so we'll see. Having fun.
Fun.
Yeah.
Fun.
What about you? What are you reading? What are you watching?
So the new season of Resident Alien just came out, so I've started watching that, and it's been pretty good so far. I don't know what's happening. A few things have happened where I'm like, "Huh? What does that mean?" Like, I'm not sure where everything's gonna go, but I am excited. And let's see, I watched the new Final Destination movie this week, so Bloodlines, and honestly, really liked it. I know I already told you this, but I rank it up there with like the third one. I don't like it as much as I like the first two, but I like enjoyed it. And so I feel like it's up there with the third one, definitely way better than the fourth and fifth one. So yeah, and if you've seen it, I thought the ending was really funny. I cackled. So, yeah, you and I are gonna have to get through the Final Destination
Yeah.
movies so you can watch the new one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those are two of the things that I've watched like this week. And right now I'm reading Beautyland, this like sci-fi book about this person, this like alien who grows up as like pretending to be a human and sending information back to like her alien, like her actual people via a fax machine. And it's about like her relationship to other people and the relationship she has to like the people she comes from and like kind of being caught between that and trying to decide, I think, how she feels. So it's been funny so
Interesting.
far. So it's interesting. I'm into it. Poker Face has ended. I know I've been talking a lot about Poker Face every time I talk about what I've been watching. But the second season was really good. I liked it more than the first season, and I already really liked the first season. I rewatched it so many times. The next like show that I'm waiting to come out for though is Twisted Metal season two is going to be coming out, I think, soon. And then I've also still been going hard on my Dropout shows. I just love the Dropout platform so much, and I recently went through and watched almost all of the Dirty Laundry episodes, which was one of the shows I hadn't gotten into yet in preparation for the new season that's coming out. So, anyways, if you don't know what Dropout stuff is, that's surprising because they're on the internet a lot.
Yeah.
But you should look them up and watch some of their clips on YouTube. Because yeah, it's really good stuff, and they also do like profit sharing or whatever, and it's a cool company. So, anywho, watching my funnies. And speaking of watching funnies, yeah, last night we watched Tommy Boy, only for the millionth
Yeah,
time.
for sure. I have not watched it as many times as you. I've watched it a lot, but not, I do not think anywhere near the amount of times that you have watched it. I do
Yeah.
wonder if maybe I've watched Black Sheep more, but I need to rewatch Black Sheep to be like, okay,
I
does this
love Black
feel
Sheep. If
like
we
I've
want to
watched it
turn something
more?
on when we go back upstairs,
Okay.
at some point today, we could turn on Black
Okay.
Sheep. I love it so much. I
Yeah.
also watched that one a lot as a kid, but not as much as Tommy Boy. I don't
Yeah.
even think I watched Black Sheep until I was like an older kid. I don't think
Yeah.
I watched a lot as like a little kid.
Yeah. I probably did watch Tommy Boy first and watched it younger.
Overall, I mean, I think it would be fine to watch with younger children aside from the R word a couple times.
Yeah, there would definitely be some discussions about, like, language. Yeah. You know, of, like, that's not something that we say.
Yeah. And the body comments made to Tommy. But we'll get into that. But, yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, we would just have to be pausing and be like, Em, let's talk about that scene.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I definitely did watch Tommy Boy first of, like, the Chris Farley movies.
Yeah, yeah, it's almost as old as we are. Came out when we were 2.
Oh.
I know. It's been around our whole life.
And let's just say it.
So Chris hot. Chris
Farley is so hot.
So yummy.
So hot.
He's such a cutie patootie. Ooh. And he's so just like, I just know he was such a little freak.
I know I've said this many a times, but I love a fat man.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you said, I bet he's a freak. Was a freak, R.I.P. Yeah. Oh, God. I am going to, like you said, we'll rewatch that documentary about him and have a good cry.
Yeah. I only watched it when it first came out, and all I remember is just being devastated the whole time. But yeah. I remember it being really good. It's just like, I feel like it was such an emotional thing to watch that I don't actually remember anything from it, really. And I would like to. So I'll probably revisit it and just weep.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. So, like Olivia said, even though usually she does the little recap for the rom-coms, I'm just going to go through and do this one. It's just part of my brain. It is part of, like, my chemistry. My DNA has Tommy Boy in it. And this is indeed a rom-com. So, not only is there a heterosexual romance between Tommy and Michelle. Yeah. But there is also, like, standard rom-com elements with Richard and Tommy. It's a totally different kind of story as opposed to, like, friends to lovers, you know, with him and Michelle. They knew each other a little bit when they were younger. He mostly knew her brother, but, like, you know, they were, like, friendly. And then now, you know, reconnecting post college and being like, oh, hey, you're cute. But there's also, there's, like, standard rom-com stuff going on between the boys, because I feel like sometimes movies that are basically rom-coms, if it's men, it'll be like a buddy comedy, like a friendship comedy or whatever. But I'm just like,
okay, but it's following the same pattern.
But this feels like a rom-com.
They go from, like, in quotation marks, rivals to best friends or lovers or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, we know that these two characters were not trying to fuck each other. Obviously. But
if they were,
it felt kind of romantic.
If they were, that would have been their trope of, like, rivals to lovers. And yeah, there were several moments where you could have just tweaked the writing a little bit and they could have fought.
Like the scene where they're crying and singing in the car, and you were like, this is a rom-com.
This is a rom-com. They're having that moment that was supposed to be, like, breezy, or in their case, they're, like, having a full-blown argument because Richard's car is fucked to shit. And instead, they're, like, having this vulnerable moment together that's in every fucking rom-com and in every fucking romance book.
Exactly. Yeah. They meet and they have, like, a funny kind of tension where you definitely have, you know, one of them who's like, what's up? And the other one is like, oh, my God. But so, you know, the rivalry does come a lot more from Richard, but there is some with Tommy, too. You can tell he feels a little insecure because, like, no, he hasn't been working here for years. He's been trying to get that degree and baby, he got it. So, okay, let me go back and get into the recap. So Tommy Boy starts out with one of the best opening scenes of a movie. It's just so funny. It's so perfect. The music is so good. So this movie, I'm going to start by talking about who did the music. David fucking Newman. What's up, David Newman? You did a great job.
Yeah, Kelly loves your work.
A plus. I was telling Olivia, I'm like, it is like dopamine straight into my fucking veins whenever I hear the score start playing of Tommy Boy. I love it so much. It's so it good. It's
a really good score too, you know.
Killed it.
It's a good, it's like a rom-com. It's
such a comfort it's movie. It's flowy. Yeah, it's very like comfortable and cute and upbeat. There is like the whole death scene that I did fast forward through because I do that. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. So cute little bumbling Tommy boy is running around trying to get to school. He gets into his little hijinks. We can already tell that Richard's a little bit of an asshole because he's making fun of Tommy. Tommy's like, shut up, Richard. So we're already establishing the vibe. So Tommy, he's very friendly. He's silly. He seems to easily make friends with people. And then Richard is...
Not.
He's not that. So, also, this movie's directed by Peter Segal, and it was written by a husband and wife writing team, Bonnie and Terry Turner, and apparently also had some uncredited writing work by Fred Wolf, who's the guy who wrote for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was going to say it as the letters, but I was like, oh, I'm going to mess it up.
Who am I thinking of, the actor? Is he not also named Peter Segal? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I don't think those are the same person.
Surely not.
Surely that guy is not this guy. Hold on.
Am I thinking of just a different guy with the last name Segal?
It has to be, right? Okay, this guy's not that guy.
Okay.
Oh, this guy. I've seen him on, again, like, skits and stuff. Mm. But yeah, it says that he directed, like, multiple, like, SNL kind of comedies. Okay. Oh, he directed 51st Dates.
Oh, one of your faves.
Yeah.
Well, then who the hell am I thinking of?
I don't know. What is that other guy? Segal. Steven Seagal. Oh my God. Look. What a scary man. What a scary
man. When you told me the director's name earlier, I was like, huh, surely that's not the same guy.
He has 6 kids.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn, Steven.
Really breeding a lot. Goodness. A lot of Seagals running around. Got a whole Seagal soccer team. Okay, anyways, I just wanted to mention those things. And obviously, we know that Chris Farley plays Tommy Boy, and Richard is played by David Spade. I keep forgetting this man's name. Spadester. And as we call him, because we're friends. And then I also just wanted to mention the dad is played by Brian Dennett. Will you look at it?
Dennehy?
Yeah.
D-E-N-N-E-H-Y.
Dennehy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian D.
Yep. That's the dad.
And like father, like son. He looks like he can get it.
Yeah, for sure.
He can get it.
For sure. I'm sure that the woman who plays his love interest that we meet later was not that upset about having to smooch on him. I don't know. He could have been a weirdo, but...
Yeah, Bo Derek.
I was into it.
Yeah, I would have been into kissing either of them.
Yeah, I'd kiss both of them. Him and Bo Derek. Same time.
So we get to see Tommy back to like the opening scene. It then like kind of then cuts to Tommy Boy on like a college campus trying to race to take his history test, and then, as you refer to, diabolical, the grades are just posted on a wall for everybody to see everybody's grades. My college experience wasn't like that.
Yeah. Is that how it was pre-internet? They were just posting everybody's grades up on the wall?
Oh, I hadn't even considered that because it was, yeah.
But, like, why wouldn't y'all get your grades privately?
Horrible.
Yeah.
What a bummer that would be.
When we were in elementary school, we got paper report cards, but they didn't just fucking hang them on a clothesline and were like, pluck them down.
Uh-huh.
Very weird. That was weird. Anyway.
Very weird. Apparently, everyone's information can be shared with everybody because it was the 90s.
Yeah.
Pre-9/11. It was a different world.
Yeah.
Different world. So it was a pre-Shrek world. So he gets a D-.
D plus.
It was a D plus, right? I got a D plus. Yeah. So Tommy Boy finally, after 7 years, graduates college, and Richard has to be the one to pick him up. And then we get one of my favorite exchanges, which, did I catch a niner in there? And I just love the chemistry between David Spade and Chris Farley. They were really good friends. They also, interestingly enough, had some pretty publicly known lover spats. They got into some fights sometimes, including one where Chris Farley was allegedly really jealous of how much Rob Lowe was hanging out with David Spade and that he wasn't getting invited enough when they were hanging out. This is
literally... Uh-huh. They're lovers. They were lovers.
They were lovers.
And if they weren't lovers, they wanted to be lovers, but they didn't know how to explore that.
And then do you want to know what made them fight again at the end of making this movie? What? They both started dating the same really hot model or actress. I don't know. I looked her up. I'm not familiar with her, yeah. But she was hot. And they started dating the same woman at the same time. And it caused them to be fighting while they were making like Pride of Black Sheep.
Hmm. There's the solution is right there.
Uh-huh.
It's right there.
It's what if we all fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What if all three of us kiss?
And they're both boys.
Yeah. I found that very interesting.
Very interesting.
Very interesting.
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 So we get to take a little tour with Tommy at his dad's factory, Callahan Auto Parts, in Sandusky, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he's back home. He's excited. He's the college grad. He's ready to take on the torch of... Callahan Auto Parts. And anyway, so we have like a variety of funny, silly moments of Tommy going through the office and just being a funny, silly guy. After Tommy Boy gets to go through and get his new little tour, where he's like, oh my God, like I'm here, you know, I'm gonna do this now. He finds out that his dad is about to get married to Bo fucking Derek.
Hot.
We get to see her getting out of the pool. Mm-hmm. We all love that. Except that she also brought her shitty adult son, Rob Lowe.
Her weird son.
Uh-huh. Who is a pedophile in real life.
Yeah, look it up.
And apparently is actually uncredited for this movie because he was filming something else and was under contract.
Oh.
And so because he wasn't able to be under contract for something else and it would have caused like scheduling issues and all of this stuff, mm-hmm. he decided because he was friends with Chris Farley and he did it as like a favor of just like, yeah, I'm just going to be in it.
Hmm.
So he was just in it.
Fascinating.
You know who almost played him?
Who?
Matthew McConaughey.
I don't
think I would have liked that.
It wouldn't have hit the same. I don't know.
I'm not like defending the casting choice of a pedophile. It's fine if it would have been someone else.
Yeah.
I'm not rooting for him or anything. But specifically, I don't think that Matthew McConaughey would have had the vibe.
Yeah, no.
The right vibe for that character.
I don't think so either.
And so Tommy is excited as fuck. He's like, I've always wanted a brother. And then he's just so sweet. And like, he's very like... He just, like, believes in the best of people, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he always goes in assuming that people have the best intentions because
yeah.
he always does have the best intentions. Yeah. And so it's one of those things of, like, well, he's really nice. And so he's like, why is everyone else? Why wouldn't they be nice?
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyways, he's not really picking up that Rob Lowe is giving supervillain vibes. And he's just kind of like, yeah, let's hang out. Let's tip some cows.
In his leather jacket, like, brooding.
Right, exactly.
Chris Farley's like, let's go, bro.
Yeah, as he's, like, staring at his quote-unquote mom all the time. And, which, of course, well, okay, before we get to that, the wedding then happens, which starts out being a mostly fun scene, mm-hmm. or, like, you know, set of scenes. I'm just not going to watch this man die over and over. How many hundreds of times have I already seen him have a heart attack?
You were so quick with the remote. I thought that the movie was skipping. And then I looked over and you were just like, click, 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 click,
yep.
click.
As soon as they start their song, click, 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 click. There we go. Funeral time. Yeah. I'm just not. And as a kid, sometimes I would skip all the way from when they would start to sing to... after the funeral has happened when he's sitting on the water with Michelle. So I would just skip right to that. So I'd skip the part where, you know, you're hearing the bagpipes, he's walking down the road. Oh.
That one was really, yeah, that scene is really sad.
But I also explained to Olivia, it wasn't just that I was like, no, I don't want to feel sad. It was that as a kid, even if I had seen a movie a lot, it would still make me weep just as much every time.
Yeah.
I cried every time I watched Lion King. I cried every time I watched Tommy Boy. So it just like, you know, it would just happen. And so anyways, I just was like, this is exhausting. I know he's gonna die. Boop, skip.
Yeah.
So anyways, his dad dies fucking suddenly. And you and I had a conversation about, is he actually married to Bo Derek's character?
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, even if, like, let's say all the paperwork somehow got turned in before the ceremony, in terms of, like, a full-on business, I don't think it would just automatically go to your spouse. Right. Wouldn't you have had to, like, have had paperwork signed and lawyers would have had to get involved?
Because the thing is, they would have already had to have been married by an officiant.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you go to the clerk's office or whatever and you get your paperwork, you're basically, like, getting a license to get married. It's yeah. not, because some people will be like, look, we're married. No, you're not. You have a yeah. license to get married.
You have to go find someone,
you know,
to marry.
I checked
you.
A box saying he wasn't my second cousin or whatever. I got married in Kentucky. So anyways, like, other than that, it's like, so you get your license to get married.
Yeah.
And then once you're in front of an officiant, i.e. you, you then sign that paperwork, and I have to then take it back to yeah. the clerk's office to basically, like, literally actually be put into a book. Like, they, like, put you in there. And so, unless they had already married, like, at the courthouse or something before that wedding, mm-hmm. they didn't get married. Like, the officiant married them, yes.
Yeah.
But, like, how do you turn in the paperwork for someone who's dead?
Yeah, if you hadn't turned it in yet, then are you married? Because I guess you could have, like, done all of the things.
Yeah, technically.
And then had a ceremony a week later.
Right,
but,
right.
But yeah, but then he died.
Right, so it's like, I don't know if it's that this was just a reception and they had been married and already turned their stuff in the days prior.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is wild. Because even she says later, like, I didn't expect him to die that fast.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was just a thing that I got really focused on. Yesterday's
this
watch
go around.
Yeah, I was just like, well, but, like, are they married? So anyways, it's obviously very sad, but Tommy doesn't really have a lot of time to grieve, because pretty much immediately they're like, oh yeah, the whole company's going under. Mm-hmm. You know, we put all of this money into the new brake pad division, and your dad, who is this, like, amazing salesman who has this butcher anecdote, I'm not gonna say it because I'll fuck it up too for sure.
Yeah,
and I didn't write
it
down
5 times in the movie. You'll
yeah
hear it.
Yeah. So, he was going to be going on this big, you know, sales tour, basically getting all of that done, and, or, like, sales trip. And so Tommy's like, well, I'll fucking do it. Because their little board of people that are talking about it are all just like, well, I guess it's all over. The old lady is just like, now the whores are going to come in. So funny. That whole exchange is so weird and funny. Shaking around for the menfolk.
Yeah, there are definitely quite a few scenes that had me crying, laughing. Uh-huh. And again, I've seen this movie dozens of times, but
it's still funny.
And
it's
that
still
was one
so
of them.
Funny. And so Tommy volunteers to go on the sales trip himself. And who's he going to take? The expert about everything. His dad's former. It was so funny because he's like, what was your job assisting my dad? Oh, look, looks like your calendar's open for the rest mm-hmm. of the year. It's like, yeah. Well, what else do you have to do?
And again, if we're following the rom-com tropes, like, this mm-hmm. is now the part of forced proximity.
Exactly.
They have to be together for this entire
trip. They even
trip.
Share a hotel room every time.
Yeah.
I told Olivia, I was like, all we had to do was make it one bed. Mm-hmm.
It's all right there. Yeah.
And, if y'all and now it's be, a romance story.
If y'all want to be queerphobic about it, make one of them a woman, and you, it's right there.
Exactly.
It's right there.
Uh-huh. If Michelle had gone with him instead, mm-hmm. this would have been, mm-hmm. like, considered a rom-com.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
100%. And you don't just have romance with people that you have sex with.
Yeah. We have romance.
Exactly.
We don't have sex with each other.
Exactly.
No, thank you.
No.
It just doesn't come up.
But we're obsessed with each other.
Everything else.
Yep.
In it.
Yep. In it to win it.
Yeah. I'd marry you.
Same.
If needed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Take a crazy chance.
Okay.
So now we get into the fucking meat of the movie, which is the road trip. Mm-hmm. And so they're on the road and they're in Richard's car that he's like obsessed with. Like he loves this car. I don't know what the car is and I don't remember and I don't care. We're not car guys. All right.
It's destroyed.
It does. It does. Just everything happens to this car. Tommy accidentally rips the door almost clean off mm-hmm. whenever he drives backwards and the door's still open. The deer after they hit it wrecks the car. At one point Tommy leaves the oil can in and wasn't mm-hmm. able to fully latch the hood. It came up and tore off. Like it just everything happens to this people. Early on, M&Ms straight into the vents. So Tommy, he does cause a lot of chaos. Not all of them are his fault. Richard's the one who hits the deer. And they both decide to put the deer in the car, which is a mistake. But it does amplify some of the animosity that Richard feels towards Tommy, where he feels like he's always been like responsible and whatever, and that Tommy just gets whatever he wants. And even though Tommy has lost his dad, the mom's not in the picture, okay? His mom's already dead too.
Yeah.
And so he has just lost his dad in this public and like horrific sudden way mm-hmm. and is now trying to save a business so like a whole town doesn't go under.
Yep.
Like that's a lot of fucking pressure. Which Richard does not respect initially.
He's like, my mentor's dead. You don't get it. And it's like, are you fucking kidding
it's
me,
It's like,
Richard?
You may have wanted him to be your dad, but he was not your dad.
Yeah. He was my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I really love about this movie, besides the score, is like the soundtrack of songs mm-hmm. that play. There's a lot of fun ones whenever they're driving around and they're like singing along together. It just has such a like steady pace throughout mm-hmm. the movie that I really love. Because sometimes I feel like comedies can have that lull part of the movie where you're just like, oh, okay, I get it. We're on the downswing. Something sad has happened. But mm-hmm. I feel like Tommy Boy maintains the right kind of pacing.
Yeah, I agree. It's just long enough to where you get a good story, but where it could have gotten too much. They're just like, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're done.
It's just over 90 minutes. I think it's like 97 minutes, and mm-hmm. I'm sure 5 of those are fucking credits.
Yep.
So it's just like a little over a tight 90. But anyways, as they're on their road trip, initially, Tommy is not good at selling the brake pads.
Yeah. Very bad.
Yeah. He also gets a little manic there, where he's just so anxious and stressed about everything that he just has this very like high energy response that's happening. Tommy makes some choices. Fires are set.
Literal fires.
But he has his big breakthrough after he gets into a physical scene that had release between him and Richard.
Strange way. I had no idea what you were about to say.
They didn't have a sex scene, okay, but they did get into a fight and got to kind of let it all out. Yeah. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, again, could have been a different scene.
Could have been.
Cowards.
Mm. Cowards.
Cowards.
Get your dicks out.
Like we said, we both think that Chris Farley, if the age of him in the movie was alive today,
mm-hmm.
he wouldn't be straight.
Bisexual for sure.
He would not be straight.
Like 90s Chris Farley might not have explored his bisexuality as far as we know.
Yeah.
But
publicly.
2025 Chris Farley?
Yeah.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
Even if friends he was with a lot of queers. Uh-huh.
And even if he had, you know, tried it out and was like, I don't know. I don't know if that's for me. But like you said, he would he'd be down with the gays. But yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So him and Richard get into a fight and Richard just like hits the shit out of him.
With a piece of wood.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, fortunately doesn't kill him. Just gives him probably a really gnarly concussion.
Mm-hmm.
And so in an attempt to get wings, because Tommy want wingy. Tommy Boy is able to sort of like have his first like sale moment where he's able to like, you know, persuade somebody and, you know, get what he wants. And so she's like, fine, whatever. I'm going to get you wings, you weird, weird man. Apparently that woman was almost played by Roseanne, but she had scheduling conflicts. So I'm glad that didn't happen because I like how that actress plays that part. And I wouldn't have wanted to see Roseanne in that.
No, no, thank you.
Before I get into like the end of the movie and like the big kind of, you know, climactic stuff, there are so many fun moments when they're on the road. We already talked about like when they're like singing and stuff as being a really fun moment, but we also very much enjoyed the moth scene.
I could not keep myself together for like 10 minutes after that scene ended. I don't know why it was so funny.
It was just so, especially because at first they're both just sitting there with the windows still open and all of these.
It's just such a random one-off scene of them, in this hotel room and their two beds. And I guess Tommy Boy wants to sleep with the window open. Mm-hmm. And so they have that lamp on and a bunch of moths. Can't even say it, it makes me laugh so hard.
Tommy's trying to talk to Michelle on the phone and he's like, Richard's like vacuuming. I don't know, I guess he's cleaning, and Richard's just trying to suck up all of the moths. Oh, good stuff.
It is probably the funniest scene for me in the whole movie.
And then the fat guy in the little coat scene, it was originally conceived as a SNL skit idea. And apparently there was a thing that Chris kept doing where he would be like, hey, I've got a really good sketch idea. And he would say that to David Spade. I thought about the word the spadester first. I don't know why I've done that to myself. So he would come up to David Spade and say, like, you know, he had like a really good like sketch or, you know, scene idea, and then would do Fat Guy in a Little Coat. And he kept doing it over and over and over and over again. It was something that apparently always made David Spade laugh. So it obviously made it into the movie. It's funny. It's iconic. I love it. I actually think that I think I downloaded off of LimeWire just the sound of him singing that song, just the audio of that little tiny 15-second clip.
Yeah.
I think I had it on my MP3 player.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Vintage.
Vintage.
Yeah, they are obviously becoming like better and better friends, even though Richard does get really irritated, and he's also just kind of a sourpuss a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And he does say things that are hurtful and mean to Tommy. Yeah. He says fatphobic shit. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked a lot about this movie, and I still don't think this is a fatphobic movie. I do think that some of the jokes were obviously, like, it came out in 1995. Yeah. So
there is fat phobia in the movie.
Yes. But, like, overall, I don't think that Tommy Boy is, like, a negatively portrayed fat character.
Yeah.
I think it's really positive fat representation. I do understand that there are fat phobic, like, comments and jokes made. And those are almost entirely made by Richard, mean kids, and other people just being assholes.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's probably maybe accurate in terms of the fat phobia of the 90s, right? Of like what someone of his size and the thing, like the confidence that he had. Like, mm-hmm. I'm sure that people were that bold in the 90s to just definitely. Like, not that they don't do it now, but you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like back then too, it was just. They no one had any problem just yelling at you, just awful shit. So yeah, like I feel like it's accurate, mm-hmm. but I don't feel as a fat person watching it being like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there are some of the comments they make are just not that funny.
Yeah,
and the scene where the kids are hurling insults mm-hmm. at him, pretty funny, only because again, accurate to weird shit these kids would say, and obviously the way Michelle eventually reacts is great. Yeah. And what always gets me is this little tiny boat just rocking around while Chris Farley keeps standing and sitting, and then the actress playing Michelle is just like, oh, just like holding on to the boat. And I was like, oh my god, I would be holding on for dear life, because that is how I feel if I'm in a tiny little boat that's that size. Mm-hmm. No, I don't need to be in that. I don't feel secure. I don't feel comfortable. Mm-mm. I don't feel safe. I feel like it's gonna tip any second.
Yeah, and I'm not that strong of a swimmer.
I'm not either.
I can technically swim, but
yeah,
not in the way that it would be needed in that moment.
Yeah. Tommy Boy really trusts that little boat, although he does have a life preserver on.
It's true. So he did have his
methinks he has fallen in before. In his little vest. His little life vest.
Yeah.
But then at the, so at the very end, obviously we find out like in the middle of the, or pretty early on in the movie after the dad has died that his widow is actually already married to the guy pretending to be her son, Rob Lowe. That is her husband. And they are like scammers. And so they were hoping to get money when he died, but they did not expect him to drop dead at the wedding. And anyways, Michelle is the one who is able to piece this together because she sees them being like weird together and is like, okay. And like, so she's not really sure. But then she sees them fully make out. And so her brother is a cop and she's able to ask him to run, I think, like a background check on them or whatever, and is able to figure out who he actually is and figure out that Rob Lowe's character has like multiple warrants out and that him and his wife have been doing crimes.
Crime.
And so she wanted to take advantage of Tommy's family and their business. You know, she wants to sell to fucking Zelensky.
Dan Aykroyd.
I can't remember anybody's names. And he is so funny as this. This is character. Apparently, he filmed all of his stuff in 2 days, so he wasn't even there that long. So he just like flew in.
Yeah.
Did a bunch of scenes.
That's funny. Was like goodbye.
I'm gonna head out.
Wow.
So his hairstyle is very forehead forward.
Very aggressive to the forehead.
It accentuates that hair just straight fucking up. Yeah.
They had to have used like a roll-in brush and just
Absolutely.
They had to have laid that thing down.
They used mousse. They used hairspray.
Yeah. Product was in there.
It was intense.
Yeah.
So once Michelle figures this out, she is able to talk to Tommy. Oh, because her and Tommy had like, you know, sort of like a downswing themselves, where the shipping got all fucked up because Rob Lowe went in there and messed with Michelle's computer and then had his shirt sucked off. I do think it's weird that Michelle wouldn't have like looked at her computer to be like, what was he doing at my desk?
Yeah, why would he need to sit at my desk?
And why is there not a password on the computer when the door to her office goes like outside?
Yeah. Come on, y'all.
What?
Internet safety is a serious matter.
Yeah, and then she also, I mean, you know, she doesn't use the filing cabinets, which is fine, but that means that all the papers are just like out.
Just there.
Someone could walk in and just grab a handful and go, see you later.
Yeah, it is kind of bonkers. I agree.
So he was just able to wander in there and get on her computer, delete a bunch of stuff. And so they're like, oh no, like none of it's going to work, even though like Tommy figured his shit out, has sold a bunch of brake pads. And he finally reached the like $500,000, basically. Half a million brake pads that he was supposed to sell, but it gets messed up because of the shipping. A bunch of people don't want their same order, blah, blah, blah. And so Michelle is able to get a hold of Tommy and Richard and tell them, because she's just like, yeah, no, I saw them kiss. And they're like, okay. And she's like on, or like with tongue. And they're like, oh, okay, I see. And so Tommy and Richard end up flying to try to intercept the selling of Callahan Auto to Zelensky, and we get really silly scenes on the plane where Tommy gets like stuck in the bathroom. He gets stuck in his like, what is that inflatable thing that was on his neck?
I guess the thing.
I guess it's some kind of flotation device for if the plane lands in the water.
Yeah, I bet he put a kid's one on. So I don't know.
Maybe that was why it was too small. Supposed to lay, like,
as an adult, but yeah, like choked him out.
And I did, I do feel like the bathroom scene is a little relatable though, just being in like a tiny dressing room or whatever, where you're like, I feel like if I move the wrong way, I'm going to knock the walls down in this thing.
I'm going to take this whole thing down with me.
So he does. He takes the whole door down. But anyways, because they impersonate like flight attendants or whatever. Because apparently that's really easy. You just pay a couple people to get their outfits. Because I guess they were the same size.
So convenient.
So convenient.
Considering not just the size of Chris Farley, but also the size of David Spade, because he's a petite little man.
Yeah, he's a little guy.
Yeah.
He was just a little guy.
What shoes did y'all wear?
Yeah.
Interesting. Anyway,
they just wore the shoes they were already... I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of being a flight attendant. So, I wouldn't know. But anyways, they're able to get there just in time. And then Tommy Boy accidentally holds up a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. Well, he does it by accident the first time. Second time was on purpose.
Yeah.
And anyways, more silly things happen. He's able to get in there. He gets Zelensky to buy $500,000 brake pads because Zelensky's like, I don't give a shit, I'm about to buy it. Except, no, he's not, because Bo Derek can't sell Callahan because she wasn't legally married to Tommy's dad, which, again, we're not sure that she was in the first place. But who's to say? Who's to say? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm not a clerk. I don't know.
I'm not a paralegal.
We get the big triumph. Yay, Tommy Boy is a fucking hero, because of course he is. We get the happily ever after. Him and Michelle are together. Him and Richard are best friends for fucking life, okay? They're probably going to have houses next door to each other. You know what
they
I mean?
They are in love.
They are in love. And yeah, it all fucking works out. And then Tommy gets in his little sailboat again and finally gets some wind.
Mm-hmm. He Papa sails sends around. Him off to the wind. Loved it.
Loved it.
Love it every time.
Okay, so before I read like the IMDb trivia thing, there were only a couple things. I looked at like a Screen Rant, like behind the scenes, and really the only things that stood out to me were from that article were that there was a proposed sequel that David Spade declined, and like it was like it's basically like a canceled sequel. He mentioned sometime earlier this year that he had been approached about a sequel that would have followed the like children of the two characters, but he said like basically no, that it just wouldn't work without Chris Farley.
Yeah.
Like it just doesn't make sense. And so he definitely shot that idea down.
Yeah.
He was like, no, which I think, you know, right move. Also, something I just think is so funny, because I don't care what Roger Ebert thinks about movies. It's just funny when you see things where it's like, this was considered like a perfect movie by Roger Ebert, or this is a terrible movie by Roger Ebert.
Yeah.
He hated this movie, and it was on his like most hated movies list.
That's very aggressive. That's a
Who
very
hurt
aggressive
you, Roger?
Stance.
I know.
What else is on that list, if that is on it?
I don't know.
Bah.
We'll have to take a peek at it.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was weird.
This feels a bit unnecessary.
I just feel like...
Way worse movies than Tommy Boy.
Yeah.
Way worse movies.
It's not that there aren't things to criticize about the movie.
Yeah,
like we mentioned,
for sure.
The R word's in there. It's in there twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some comments that, you know, did not age well, are not funny.
Yeah.
But overall, I think that it's still a really great movie. Like,
yeah.
I think it really holds up. And, yeah, I just thought it was interesting to have such a sharp reaction to a movie like Tommy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And because, like, I'm just like, what's happening in your heart that you don't like this movie? You know, like, what hurt you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So, anyways, I obviously love this movie. How did it feel for you watching it last night? So, I just watched this movie a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But, so... It felt wonderful as always. But what about you?
Oh, it always feels wonderful.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it as recently as you have. I bet I probably watched it like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like I watch it. When I see it, when it comes upon me, I watch it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like I usually think about like, oh, I should put on Tommy Boy. But I love it every time I watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I obviously love Chris Farley, and then I never really thought about it, but I've watched a lot of stuff that David Spade is in.
Yeah.
So many things. Like, if I really sat down and made a list, it's like, oh, it's not just this and fucking Emperor's New Groove. It's like multiple TV shows he was in.
Uh-huh. Joe Dirt.
Joe Dirt. Yeah.
I watched that about a month ago, I think.
But yeah, it's like, oh shit. Like, I've watched a lot of David Spade stuff. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it.
One of my partners and I watched or had like a Spade marathon around the time of his birthday. Yeah, it really just started because I wanted to watch Tommy Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Somehow, I think Joe. I think it recommended like whatever platform I was watching it. It was like, do you want to watch Joe Dirt? And I was like, honestly,
kind of. Yeah,
let's watch it.
Yeah, let's watch
I watched it.
It
a lot as
yeah,
a kid.
I did too.
Also, it's a rom com. Mm-hmm. But we, I was like, fuck it, let's do it. I was like, wait, are we having a David Spade marathon?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, kind of. I don't know. And so we watched it, and then afterwards, he was like, do you want to watch Emperor's New Groove? And
oh,
I was like,
classic.
Honestly, yes, let's do that. Mm-hmm. So we ended up just having like a David Spade marathon.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. He was definitely one of the big comedians of our childhood. And I
yeah.
also like the, I like a lot of the SNL skits that he was in. Like, I feel like I've also just seen him in like funny, like one-off, like, you know, comedy skits that are really funny. So, yeah, he's a funny dude.
Yeah.
And he's also another one of those guys that is always with really hot women. And I'm like, what's going on
yeah,
there?
What is it like to interact with you?
Yeah. And what's the equipment like?
Because, yeah, I remember I think it might have been when we were teenagers. There were, you know, you'd be at like the grocery store waiting in line with your parents and you would see the tabloids and it would be like David Spade with Heather Locklear. And I'm just like, how?
Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
Uh-huh.
What do y'all talk about?
He was with like a lot of, he was with like multiple like models.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, what's going on
yeah.
there?
Is he really funny?
Especially with these little hats he's been wearing all throughout the 2000s, probably still now.
Yeah.
I'm just like, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah,
I don't think he's like unattractive. It's
no.
just, I'm just, it's interesting who he pulls.
Because again, where are y'all interacting?
Mm-hmm. Probably like parties and stuff. Like,
and like, what, again, what are you talking about? What's the opening line?
I don't know. Do they just do coke together?
Is he just like walk up and say hi?
Is he just
David
like a
Spade?
Fun time and he always has drugs?
Yeah. Is he kind? I don't know.
Maybe he's like a nice guy.
Yeah. Maybe he's just really genuine. I don't know.
Yeah.
Let us know, somebody. You know, y'all know anything
yeah.
about David Spade?
Oh, God. Hopefully it's not anything
Hopefully
bad.
Hopefully it's not. Oh, okay. Well.
I already found out that Adam Sandler and Ben Stiller are Zionists.
Yeah.
So.
It's like, ugh.
And apparently it wasn't that hard to know, so I also feel like a piece of shit for not knowing that, but...
I didn't know that either, so... But now we know.
Yeah, but whenever I looked it up, it was like, it was going back years, 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 talking about it. I was like, whoa.
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 Not good. Okay, so yeah, once again, loved it. It's just one of those movies where, like, I can play it and not even be looking at it, just be doing something else. Like for a big portion of the movie, I was cutting words out of a magazine. Like I like to collage, and so I was just looking for words or pictures out of some random magazine I got sent. And so I'm just sitting there, and then I'll just like say the lines as they're mm-hmm. happening. As I'm like, you know, doing some kind of craft. And that's just like such a satisfying rewatch experience for me.
Agreed.
But yeah, so I always love this movie. It's so funny. I really love the like romance between Michelle and Tommy. I wish we had gotten a little
mm-hmm.
more from them, but I also understand
yeah.
their relationship was not the center relationship,
yeah.
like center focus of the movie. It was the relationship between him and Richard.
Yeah.
Ricard. but I thought that him and Michelle had like really like a really cute like vibe with each other
yeah.
and I liked their chemistry, and also she's really hot,
super hot,
really hot,
super hot,
and she's really funny. I loved her style.
Mm-hmm.
They had her in really cute outfits.
Yeah,
she had a denim on denim outfit. She had this cute little like dress that she wore with that little like half updo to the wedding. Come
mm-hmm.
on, she had all kinds of cute little outfits. Perfect
yeah.
90s outfits. Yeah, also, it's just, like, such a nostalgic movie to watch. And the people in the movie look like people.
They look like people.
They look like people.
Different people.
Uh-huh.
Of
they don't all
ages.
Look the same.
Uh-huh.
Everyone
in this movie is white.
That is true. That is true.
We
There's...
mean in terms of, like, their actual faces.
And as far as, like, the main characters.
Yeah.
The only non-white character I'm thinking of off the top of my head is one of the guys that works at Callahan
yeah.
that's friends with Tommy.
He's
a black
camo.
Guy. Yeah, he's a black guy that he grew up with. And he was like, wow, nice distance.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's only in a couple scenes in the movie, obviously. And I'm not immediately remembering
yeah,
anyone else.
Either.
So, yeah, it's definitely still a very white movie. You know, it is focused on two white guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, as far as body types, people having wrinkles
mm-hmm.
when they're older.
Yeah. Like the clothing.
People just look like people.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it also helps that it's like set in like a, you know, a small town in Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, I don't really know how big or small Sandusky, Ohio is. But, I mean, they did say that, like, if this plant shuts down, like, most of the town doesn't have a job. So I'm thinking that's a smaller town because, you know, it's just it's one big plant.
Yeah.
Let's look at the IMBD trivia. See if there's any good little nuggets.
Little morsels.
So, you know how I had mentioned that Chris Farley and David Spade had, like, gotten in a fight over the jealousy that Chris Farley felt about Rob Lowe? It actually resulted in a physical fight on set where Farley was, like, up in Spade's face going, "How's Rob Lowe? How's Rob Lowe?" And, like, saying it over and over again. And then, let's see. Farley went over to Spade, stomped on his hand with a sandwich in it. Spade responded by throwing his Diet Coke on him, so Farley threw Spade into a wall and pushed him down a set of stairs. Oh my God. But then they heard the walkie-talkie call action, and they composed themselves and walked onto set. What?
What do you mean? If you threw me down a set of stairs, I'm going to need a minute.
But then it says when it was time for Spade to speak, he couldn't speak. He stormed off to his trailer. So Spade said he wasn't going to film with Farley anymore. Then Farley tackled the director's assistant, Skippy, who was about the same weight build as Farley. Okay. So they're like, he knocked him down and he wasn't a little guy. But they eventually reconciled, but it said throughout the filming, it says the pair would often get into minor spats, would go hours without talking to each other, and would only talk to the director, but then they would always reconcile. Mm. Oh, interesting. I did wonder if he was still on cocaine when he was making this. It says he was sober during the filming, but he ended up getting a coffee addiction instead. He would have up to 27 cups of cappuccino every day, sometimes 3 at a time before every scene. Holy shit.
Who's getting him that?
I don't know. Oh, cute. There's a reference to this movie in 51st Dates. I didn't realize that. There's the Callahan Institute, which is funded out of Sandusky, Ohio by T.B. Callahan.
Oh.
So that's fun. So they have like a little reference. David Spade refused to let the set stylist work on his hair. This accounts for the hair's tousled experience in the film. The crew members would joke that his hair looked like a toupee, and that's what led to the gag where his hair flies back, which was a late addition to the film. So they gave him his little, you know, bald cap to make him have a fake toupee because they said his hair looked like a toupee.
Damn.
That's kind of mean. He got thrown downstairs,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, what the hell?
God, are you okay, David?
Shit.
Maybe he is just a really nice guy.
Damn.
Okay. they had Chris Farley graduate from like the Marquette University, I think is what it said. And that is his real life alma mater. And at one point he is wearing a Marquette rugby jacket in the movie, and that's just his jacket.
Fun.
So I do like that. Oh my God. So I did know there was a different car for the scene of the deer standing on top of the car. Mm-hmm. It's the only scene in the movie where it's a different car. Otherwise, it's the same car that just gets worse and worse, I believe. But it said to make that scene, it took the film crew 5 weeks to get the shot of the deer standing on the car. They gave a car to a trainer who fed a deer and let it eat and poop in and around the car for a month so the deer could get used to it before they could bring in cameras and get the shot they needed.
Oh my God.
We'll have to have an intimacy coordinator for this fucking deer and car.
It's like a 4-second scene, too. Like, yeah. The shot of the deer on the car. That's wild.
Oh my God. In the scene where Paul is washing the mud off of Tommy, it was below 20 degrees outside Fahrenheit, and so Farley had a wetsuit under his clothes to keep from actually freezing. So as he's screaming, Jesus. Like, the amazing, it does seem like he's really shaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because it's 20 degrees outside.
Oh my God.
So the film was originally pitched with the idea of Chris Farley and Rob Lowe as brothers. It was like retooled. He was only kept in as like the mean stepbrother, whatever. But originally it was a story about two brothers and Rob Lowe would have been the other main character. So obviously I'm glad it didn't go that direction.
Yeah.
But basically, Lorne Michaels saw the like chemistry between David Spade and Chris Farley at SNL, and so that's why the role of Richard was created for Spade, so they can make it about them instead. Again, it makes me wonder about this triangle of like Rob Lowe, David Spade, Chris Farley, of like,
what's going on there?
I know. Was there also a lot of animosity and jealousy and stuff between them? Oh, this is actually fucked up. So we had talked about how Bo Derek was at one point married to that actor that plays Aiden. Maybe they still are. But at the time, she was still married to her now dead husband, John Derek, who was a very protective, quote unquote, and jealous man. And he made her cut all of her hair off the day before she showed up on set, which shocked the cast and crew because they thought they were going to get Bo Derek from 10.
Yeah. And I did find her hair a weird choice. We even commented on it that like it didn't make sense.
Yeah, it didn't quite like match her
for what was going on with the with the movie. That's fucking awful.
Yeah, it's because she had a jealous husband who made her cut all of her hair off before she was in a movie.
She's still hot in that, even with that haircut.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm glad you're dead, John.
Yeah, fuck you. So Chris Farley insisted he do all of his own comedic stunts for Tommy Boy. That's another thing that really stands out about this movie is, like, I understand the trope of having fat characters be an overly physical comedy. I get that. Chris Farley was good at physical comedy and was a fat guy.
He literally just said that he played rugby.
Yeah, he is a very physical guy. Him and all his brothers were all into sports. They're all fucking throwing each other around their whole lives. So yeah, it's just also sometimes fat actors like physical comedy. Like it's that. So I don't think it's tropey in this movie because it was part of Chris Farley's comedy, and I just don't get the sense that he was only doing that because of expectations that he's fat.
Yeah, and it's not gratuitous in the movie. It's not like every scene he's throwing his body against the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, they mention his famous quote-unquote kill the table stunt, the table at the fraternity party, because they wanted to get a professional stuntman. He was like, nah, I want to do it. But they said that everybody was really impressed. He just got up afterwards and seemed fine. He's like, all right, did it. I was like, whoa.
Jesus.
I guess it was all the cappuccinos. Oh, this is really cute. So the housekeeping scene is an actual prank that David Spade would play on Chris Farley. Every morning in the hotel they were staying at during filming, Spade would repeatedly knock on Farley's door while he was sleeping and go, housekeeping? Farley would get more and more irritated and then would open the door in a fury only to see that it was just Spade. And Farley would fall for the joke every morning. Whoa. I hate that they burned this take. Okay, so the scene, the housekeeping scene where you end up seeing Chris Farley from behind and he's wearing those tiny little briefs. So they shot three versions of it. One where he's wearing those, one where he's wearing funny bikini briefs, and then one where he is, funny boxers, funny bikini briefs, and then one naked from the waist down. But listen to this part. They agreed that the naked one was the funniest. In one of the naked takes, Chris was very ostentatiously swinging his body in such a way that his penis kept popping into the shot and into the camera. And he said into the camera, do you like the movie, Miss Lansing, referring to Sherry Lansing, head of Paramount at the time. Peter Segal knew the studio would not be pleased seeing that and made sure they burned all the negatives of the take.
We'll never know.
So Julie Warner is the actress who plays Michelle, and it said Chris Farley was actually, he tended to be shy around women, especially really attractive women. He was very cutesy and timid around Julie Warner. It says at first she thought he was just doing a shtick, but then she realized that he was being genuine. At one point she pulled him into her trailer and they would stay there until he was able to have a full conversation with her. It took 4 hours, but he eventually did it. They talked about sports and his father, among other things. After that, he was able to have casual conversations with her.
I would have fucked him for sure.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Would have fallen in love.
There's something about a shy little person like that.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I just want to gobble him up. Oh, man. That would have gotten me.
Oh. So, you know how I told you there was that really hot woman that Chris Farley and Spade, like, were interested in romantically? It's Lori Bagley, who's the woman who played the skinny dipping person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Lord.
It said that Spade was best friends with her. He introduced her to Farley. Then they all hung out together, but her and Farley started getting very close and dating. Spade was really salty, as he was interested in her too, not to mention he found out about the relationship on accident. They were going out behind his back. Messy. Drama. These were messy boys. This wasn't in the documentary.
This was not in the documentary.
Wow. Tommy Boy was one of Paramount's top 10 best-selling videos of all time.
Damn.
Joining the ranks of films like Indiana Jones movies, Beverly Hills Cop, Top Gun, Wayne's World, and Forrest Gump. The film made nearly $100 million just in home video sales. So this is actually pretty funny. The plywood board that Richard hits Tommy in the face with was made of wood, but the part that was supposed to hit Farley in the face, that part was made of rubber, right? Well, Spade fucked up and accidentally hit Chris Farley with the wooden part. So he actually did hit him in the face with a wood plank. Because he did it wrong.
Accidentally.
What an interesting film set.
Interesting.
Oh, to be a fly on the wall. Oh, to have been like a PA or something. Mm-hmm. Just like kind of off on the sidelines, getting to see all of that. Okay, so there are a few different scenes that are things that actually happened to some of either the cast or the crew in real life. So when they were trying to come up with funny scenes, sometimes they would just draw from things that actually happened to them. So the director, Peter Segal, actually did the thing that Tommy did where he backs up to the gas pump and ends up fucking up the door against the pole. The director actually did that one time. So when the hood flies open as Tommy's driving is something that happened in real life to writer Fred Wolf. Whenever Tommy and Richard pretend they don't want to listen to Superstar, it's based off something that happened with David Spade. He was in a car with a girl and he mistakenly left his CD of the Carpenters' Greatest Hits in the player. And when he turned the radio on, the Carpenters started playing right away. And he was so embarrassed, he tried to act macho by like changing the station. Ugh, I wish I could have been there. While filming Tommy Boy, Chris Farley and David Spade stayed at the same hotel as Adam Sandler, who was simultaneously filming Billy Madison in Toronto, and the three of them would spend their evenings hanging out together. Take me there.
Wow.
Take me there. I would love to have been able to smoke a J with them. They actually went back and changed Fat Guy in a Little Coat. So originally it was just Chris Farley saying it, not singing it. Oh. But then later, because of some kind of technical issue, they had to go back and reshoot. And so Farley was just getting really bored. And so then he said it in like a sing-song way to make David Spade laugh. And they were like, no, we're going to do that.
Yeah.
So it originally wasn't going to happen. They had to reshoot it though.
Mm.
Yay.
Yay.
Awkward. After the movie came out, people would walk up to David Spade and ask if it's his real hair. Oh, David.
Oh, no. It's so cool.
Oh, David.
David.
Oh, sorry, man. Yeah, so Lori, either Bagley, I'm not sure, the woman who played the like skinny dipping character, so she was already friends with David Spade and Chris Farley before, but it said that Fred Wolf, one of the people who helped write the movie, he like gave her a part in the movie. It's weird though, because according to this, allegedly on IMDb, it says in the script she was just supposed to take her robe off and jump in the pool in her bikini, but when she got to set, they told her they wanted to change it where she gets naked. And it said she was initially uncomfortable, and then it said, but Chris Farley said like she would only do it if she could be comfortable, so he would make her laugh and then put a towel around her, like I guess when she wasn't filming. So I guess they worked it out where she felt more uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but I don't like that it's like that. They were like, oh, so you're here? By the way, you're going to be naked. And all of us are looking at you. So hopefully you're chill with this because we're all staring at you.
Hopefully you're prepared for that.
Hate that. Wow. This was actually Chris Farley's first starring role.
Oh.
He died only 2 years later.
Damn.
I didn't realize it was that fast.
I didn't either.
Mm. Oh, the actor who plays the dad, Big Tom, he was also in 10.
Oh, okay.
So that was another reason that, like, Tommy makes the comment of, like, she looks like a 10. It's because both of them were in that movie together. Oh, this is kind of mean. So for her role as Beverly, Bo Derek was nominated for a 96 Golden Raspberry Award for the Worst Supporting Actress. I didn't think she was a bad actress in this.
Yeah. What was wrong with it?
I thought she seemed fine.
Yeah.
That seems weird and unnecessary.
Yeah.
What? She said she lost to Madonna in Four Rooms. I haven't seen Four Rooms, but...
I haven't seen Four Rooms either.
Apparently some people didn't like it. Okay, but how does that make sense? Okay, so Roger Ebert clarified later that he does not personally dislike Farley. He just disliked the movies he chose to star in. He praised Farley's work on Saturday Night Live. Okay, but how do you like his comedy style in SNL but not the movies he was in? Because they're the same comedy style.
It says at the beginning of the movie it's a Lorne Michaels production.
I don't understand.
The guy who does SNL. I get that like the writers are not always the same. But
yeah,
like,
for sure, for sure.
It's the same vibe.
Yeah. I just, whatever. Whatever. It's just weird.
I don't believe you.
Okay, I kept scrolling through. Nothing else really stood out to me. Yeah, this movie is just... It's just like a peak comfort nostalgia movie for me to watch. We decided to rate this on a moth meter out of 5 moths.
The best scene of the movie.
Little moths. I mean,
I'm gonna give it 5.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
Moths. 5 out of 5.
I was crying multiple times, laughing so hard watching this movie. Could not compose myself. Thought I was gonna like throw up laughing so hard at the moth scene. So I think it has to be 5 out of 5. Yes, there are things that are not great about it. There's some things that did not age well. That is expected. It is a 30-year-old movie.
Yeah.
Written by white people, starring white people. For a probably predominantly white audience in the 90s.
Yeah.
It still makes me gaggle really hard. Yeah. 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Okay. So, yeah. We just love this movie so much.
Is next time our bonus episode?
So, okay. So, that was Tommy Boy. Obviously, we love Tommy Boy so much. Our next episode, though, is our 25th episode. Oh my god. Wow. So it's our 25th episode. Wow, how exciting. And so we just decided to do a bonus episode. And what better to do than a movie that is not only a horror movie, not only a rom-com, but a horror and a rom-com.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what it is.
Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Love it.
Watched it so many times.
These teenagers keep killing themselves.
Kill themselves all over the place. Oh man, I can't wait.
I can't wait either. So, yeah, it's so good. Another great comedy. Next time we get to bloop combine and talk about a rom-com that is also a horror movie. We'll see you next time. Bye.